It wasn't something up on the surface that was wrong with Adam and Eve. It was down deep in the human heart. It was defiance of the will of God. It was autonomy and independence.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Marvelous grace in government. And he moves in a very special way to touch the lives of his fallen creatures, these wretched creatures, if you will, who had fallen so far and so low. With God, there's not only an approachment, he approaches them. There's not only an approachment revealing his love, there's also an atonement revealing his holiness. A penalty must be paid for these sins. Blood will be shed. And we have that here in Genesis 3, verses 20 to 24. So God takes the steps necessary to reclaim and protect his fallen but still loved creatures. That's, by the way, what every one of us is. We are fallen but still loved creatures. He still loves us. And he took some very powerful steps to demonstrate that love and reclaim us for himself. And the ultimate step was when his son got inside of our skin, became incarnate and died on the cross. He lived a sinless life. He died a substitutionary death. He experienced a substantiating resurrection. That was the ultimate step which God took to redeem a lost and a fallen humanity, which he still loved, but in embryonic form. We see the beginning portraits of that in Genesis 3 and verses 20 to 24. He takes these steps which are necessary to reclaim and protect his fallen but still loved creatures. And these are steps which prefigure what he will do for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. What were those steps? Do you notice, first of all, God acted in grace? That's verses 20 and 21. And then God acted in government. He expelled and excluded Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. First, God acted in grace. You read it in verses 20 and 21. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Powerful statement in view of what had just been said to him. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. That's an act of grace. First, God acted in grace. But before God's grace became a reality in the life of Adam, there was an expression of genuine faith that seems always to be the case. God is making a rich offer. The dynamic of his grace and love can invade and infuse our lives. We can be saved. We can become God's children. We can be reclaimed by the Lord. The image of God, which has been marred by sin, can be restored in us, but there must be evidence of faith. God makes a rich offer, but he requires that we respond by faith, that we reach out and accept that offer. And there's evidence that Adam had faith, that he had a saving faith. That's the prerequisite, Adam's confession. In verse 20, God acted in grace, but there was a prerequisite. Adam made a confession, and that confession was an expression of his faith in the promises of God. And that confession is in verse 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. That was an expression that he had faith in the promises of God. As I look at that verse, it seems to me that there's a personal implication and there's a racial implication, which I'll just amplify for just a moment. Adam called his wife's name Eve. You know what that word means? The word Eve, kava, is the Hebrew word. The name Eve means to live. The giving of that name by Adam to his wife was an incredible demonstration of Adam's personal faith in the promise that God had made to humanity in Genesis 3 and verse 15, that Satan would ultimately overcome and that there would be a reversal of the devastation that Satan had wrought in the Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve. And he believed that promise. And so he names his wife Eve, which means to live. She is the fount of life, the radiance of Adam's faith. By this affirmation, this confession in verse 20, the radiance of his faith is accentuated by the gloom of the narrative. Adam had just learned some very significant things about himself and his environment, and he had learned them directly from God. He had learned that he would face a sterile soil. His habitation was cursed, verse 17. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And he would face a hostile foliage. His occupation was cursed. There would be thorns and thistles, and he would eat of the herb of the field instead of the abundance and the plenty of the garden. And he had learned that he would have a decaying body. Not only was his habitation and his occupation cursed, but his destination was cursed. Verse 19, sweat here and now, dust at the end of life. He would return to the dust, for of the dust he had been taken, and unto the dust he would return. When Adam came to verse 20, after having heard that message and named his wife Eve, which means to live, and declared that she would be the mother of all living, that was an indication that he had heard the promise of God in verse 15 in a spirit of faith. Adam may have been discouraged. He certainly was. He may have been even devastated by the consequences of his sin, but he was not in despair because he had the promise of God and he believed that promise. That's how every one of us can be delivered from despair. We may be discouraged, we may be downheartened, we may be to a certain extent devastated by our own fallenness and sin, but we do not need to be in despair. We can be delivered by the power of God. We can believe his promises, and faith is the basis of negotiable transactions in the bank of heaven. When God sees that we place faith in his Son and in his promise, he responds powerfully and directly into our lives, and he was doing that in the experience of Adam and Eve. And so Adam does not name his wife, even after these sobering insights that he gains in verses 17 to 19. Adam does not name his wife the mother of all dying. He names her the mother of all living. There's hope. There's no need for ultimate despair because God is a God who's promised deliverance and it will come ultimately through his Son, Jesus Christ. Adam believed it and we must believe it as well. There was a personal implication. He had a personal faith. There's also a racial implication because Eve is the life spring. Eve is the one who gives life, and it means that the race, the human race, will be perpetuated. God might have stopped up the fountains of humanity, the fountains of life. He could have justifiably extinguished the race by extinguishing Adam and Eve. He could have done that justifiably because of their sin, but he didn't. Your identity as a human being today and mine, your very presence is an indication of the infinite grace and wisdom and power of God. He spared the race when he might have extinguished it. There's a personal and a racial implication. The prerequisite to God's grace becoming effective in the life of Adam and Eve was an evidence of faith. And verse 20 is a powerful evidence that Adam had faith in the promises of God. Do you have faith in the promises of God? God has made a promise to you with respect to Jesus Christ. God says to every one of us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," those are the words of Jesus, "I will come into him." That's a promise. I will come into him. "And I will sup with him, and he with me." He makes a rich offer, an offer of salvation. Do you believe that promise? Have you ever acted upon it? Ever responded to it? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? As many as received him, here's another promise, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the authority to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. He makes a rich promise. He expects that we'll respond, that we'll receive the offer by faith. And when we do, his grace powerfully interacts with our life, transforms us, makes us new creatures in Christ, gives us purpose and forgiveness and destiny that we never had before. But now I want you to see not only the prerequisite, but the provision. You see here not only Adam's confession, but his covering. And that covering is in verse 21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them." There was an evidence of faith, and so there's a dynamic infusion of grace. Now, with respect to this provision, let me say two things about it. Do you see its source? It comes from the Lord God. The Lord God is the source. The God who made us is the God who redeems us. Even though in defiance of him, we've rebelled against him, the God who made us is the God who loves us and the God who redeems us. It comes from the Lord God. He says, "Unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them." God always makes the first move. It's always true. It was true in the Garden of Eden. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, it was God who made the first move in approaching them. He's always there in the beginning. Genesis 1:1 sets the tone for the entire Word of God and our understanding of the nature of God. He's always there in the beginning. Before man stirs himself to seek God, God is already seeking the man. He's seeking you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to bless your life. He wants to invade your life. He wants to fill your life with meaning and forgiveness and cleansing and purpose and eternal destiny. In the Bible, we do not see man groping after God. We see God reaching after man. The Bible reveals a God who takes the initiative. God takes the initiative long before it occurs to man to turn to him. While man is still lost in his darkness and sunk in his sin, God is the God who takes the initiative. He rises from off his throne. He lays aside his glory. He stoops in the incarnation of Jesus Christ to seek and to save lost humanity. He gets right inside of our skin. He fully identifies and empathizes with us. He lays down his very life. He sheds his blood on the cross to save our souls. That's the kind of God he is. It was the Lord God who took the initiative on this occasion. So the Lord God made coats of skins and he clothed them. You know what he's saying? They'd already made a covering for themselves. Fig leaves. God is saying the puny efforts of man to make himself presentable before God through fig leaves. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7 simply will not do. The lesson of Genesis 3 and verse 21 is simply that man is not viewed by God as properly clothed and thus fit to stand in his presence and go to heaven until he is clothed by God himself. Have you been clothed by God himself? Are you trying by your own good works or your own religiosity, the rituals and all of that of a given church or denomination? Are you trying to make yourself presentable to God? God says, you will not be properly clothed until I clothe you. And I'm going to clothe you with nothing other than the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my son. And you must receive him. You must trust him as your Lord and Savior, or you're unfit to stand in the presence of God. That's the lesson of verse 21. God says fig leaves, which are a symbol of human reformation and good works, simply will not do. We do not need a new leaf. We need a new life. No puny human effort, but a powerful divine work. Only that makes us fit for heaven. That's what God was saying. The source of this provision was the Lord God. You notice the substance? What was the substance of it? What did God provide? He provided coats of skins. You know what that speaks of? It speaks of a substitutive sacrifice. Something had to die. Blood had to be shed. It wasn't Adam, it wasn't Eve, it was a substitute. Here we have the principle of substitution. And we have the principle of sacrifice in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve needed not simply a physical covering, that's why fig leaves wouldn't do. They also needed a spiritual covering because their problem was not superficial, nor is yours and mine. Their problem was not superficial, it was substantial, it was constitutional. It wasn't something up on the surface that was wrong with Adam and Eve. It was down deep in the human heart. It was defiance of the will of God. It was autonomy and independence, believing that they could make their own choices apart from God. God says, no, you can't do that. What Adam and Eve needed was an inward change as well as an outward garment. Adam and Eve needed a stirring on the inside. They needed an awareness of the awfulness of sin and its consequences. And that is exactly what God provided them with through the slaying of an innocent victim. A life must be forfeited before a new life can be gained, because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The ultimate cure will mean this: God himself must invade the planet. He must assume flesh. He must die. He must shed his blood in order that we might be saved. Adam and Eve were learning that in embryonic form.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The whole point of the garden was fellowship with God. But this was a fellowship which Adam and Eve had repudiated when they decided to go it on their own.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.